Why are people yearning to go to the Holy Land? I didn't understand the reason when I was young. I was too idealistic and somehow very skeptical to visit the Holy Land. Jesus said to Samaritan woman, "A time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem." So why do we need to go to the Holy Land? Furthermore, the heartbreaking stories of Palestinian people made me hesitate to go there. However, last year, I received the invitation to the biblical tour to Israel from BC Conference. My inner voice said, "If you miss this opportunity, you may not have any chance to go there in your lifetime." So I registered and sent a deposit almost the deadline, just before the deadline. When I registered, my younger daughter Anna was planning to go together with me, but she found that she needed to focus on her piano audition to enter music course in university. So I decided to bring my husband, not to waste a deposit. Although he didn't have any passion for the Holy Land, we went together. In terms of the schedule, it was very tight and intense. It's a very tough trip. But it was way more meaningful and inspiring than we expected. I remember the word of Jesus. Jesus said, "Come and see." Yes, we need to come and see. We needed to come and see. Not only come and see, touch, smell, taste, feel, hear, and experience the land where the biblical stories exactly happened, to understand the meaning of the familiar words and stories in new ways. So now, I can visualize the land full of fruits and vegetables and the flock of goats and sheep, the reality of God's abundance. When I hear the words of the prophet today, "Oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price." We went to Israel in the coldest season of winter, and the harvest season was over. Even so, we could see bananas, lemons, oranges on a tree. I want to share some pictures. You may not see well, but it's an Israel Valley from the Mount Carmel. So there are lots of green there. And next picture is Mount of the Beatitude. Next picture, please. Yes, you may see the orange tree behind, and there are lots of, you know, tropical fruits or trees. And this is a fruit stand in a city of Nazareth. There are lots of fruits, full of fruits. It's a local fruits, amazingly, they are offering. And we also went to, not this one, Golan Heights, close to the border of Syria and Israel. And we could see UN soldiers protecting the border, and we could hear the sound of shooting in Syria in far away. Even so, there were Syrian farmers selling apples, apricots, figs, and olives, and so on. We stayed several nights at the hotels in kibbutz. A kibbutz is a farming settlement of Israel people, and we could enjoy local vegetables and fruits, but we also got to know that those gifts of fruits and vegetables, God's abundance, were not shared enough with their immediate neighbors, the Palestinian people. According to our guide, actually, who is a Palestinian, The income of the agriculture in Israel Valley and Jordan Valley is about $4 billion per year. But Israel is expanding their territory and enclosing the land with a fence or wall. Palestinian economy has been devastated. And our guide encouraged us to go shopping in a Palestinian territory, such as the gift shop in Jericho, and the Christian shop and social organization in Bethlehem. We spend much money to support Palestinian economy. But as you may know, we have to pay everything by US dollar. And you can imagine that. I was frightened to see the statement of my credit card after my trip. Oh no. So we are a minister's group, not so rich people, but we have to pay a lot to help the devastated Palestinian economy because of the current capitalistic system. Is this a good way to use our money? Is this the only way to help Palestinian people? I wonder. The prophet says, "Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy?" How can we respond to this calling? This is the season of Lent. So, in today's Bible reading, the prophet encouraged us, "Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." Jesus also repeated the words, "Unless you repent, you will all perish," just as they did. Unless you repent, you all will perish. It's very strong, scary words. Lament, repentance, and seeking and listening to God, these are important attitudes of Lent. Our grief, sorrow, and repentance can be strong motivation to pray and seek God. However, I have been thinking, it is not easy to stay in this attitude for 40 days of Lent. It's too long. If we keep thinking, "Why I didn't do that," or "I should have done in this way," all the time for 40 days, it is very discouraging and depressing. But the trip to the Holy Land gave me some insight about repent. The Holy Land is very tiny geographically. The land size is 2/3 the size of Vancouver Island. But the landscape and the weather are full of variety, partly because of the huge gap of the height. The highest place is Mount Hermon. It's 2,800 meters. And the lowest place is, as you may know, is the Dead Sea, 400 meters under sea level. This is the deepest place in the world. When we were driving down to the Jordan River from Galilee to the Dead Sea, we could see that the landscape was changing all of a sudden. Although we can enjoy the tropical weather and fruits in the Jordan Valley, when we passed Jericho, we entered the desert, since the land includes a lot of salt, and only limited plants can survive where almost nothing grows. So let's show some pictures. This is Jericho. This is a tree of Zacchaeus, it is said. Such a huge tree. And this is Jericho too. The mountain was said, a mountain of temptation. Jesus was tempted. But when we are driving, the scene changed. So like this. It's the desert on the way to the Dead Sea. So all of a sudden, it changed. When I came to the desert around the Dead Sea, I remembered the story of John the Baptist and the words of Tetsuro Honda, a Roman Catholic priest who is working in the town of homeless people in Osaka, Japan. This is a place where John the Baptist came down and called the people to repent, to ask for forgiveness, and to be baptized. And the priest Honda said, "Repentance does not necessarily mean to feel guilty for something wrong or bad you have done. To repent means to go in depth and see the world in different ways." Actually, the priest Honda left the high status in Vatican and came to the town of homeless people and started to live and work together with them. So I took, many years ago, I took his word to go in depth as a kind of metaphor and never imagined what I could see at the Dead Sea. However, I had a chance to come down to the Dead Sea through Jordan River. This is the deepest place in the world. Please see the picture, next picture. And where John the Baptist actually called the people to come and to repent. So what could I see there? It was just desert and cliffs. There was nothing but just a great emptiness. We spent a few hours there. Then I began to think that John the Baptist might have encouraged people to leave their busy and weary lives to come and sink in the empty desert and to be born and start again through the baptism. If so, the invitation to repentance is neither discouraging nor depressing, but more hopeful and full of new possibilities. So friends, I would like to invite you to enjoy such a great emptiness this season of Lent. Please try to give up some of the commitments in your life and enjoy the simple and less scheduled life. Not only try to have intentional prayers or meditation, but also open yourselves to doing nothing and just enjoy being in emptiness. When we have open time and space, when we can open ourselves to such an emptiness, somehow we can see the work of Holy Spirit and we can count how many blessings we have received from God. That's what I observed during the children's retreat last weekend. Our children didn't have time of quiet meditation, never. Just praying and doing something all the time. But some of you may think that, is it truly retreat? Do children need a retreat? Yes, they need it. Because it's compared to their everyday lives, it was way less scheduled, way less instructed. Our adult leaders intentionally gave few instruction to young leaders, youth leaders. So youth leaders and children could freely use their imagination and creativity to understand the theme story and express their ideas. Nobody blame, nobody judge that Jesus is right, that this Jesus is wrong. Every Jesus, you know, expressed by children, beautiful, coming from their imagination. And such freedom, free space, free time was a retreat for the children. I could feel the Holy Spirit was moving among us and playing together with us and dancing with us. This is one of the experiences of God's abundance. So during this Lenten season, some of you may give up something to eat or drink or to do. It doesn't matter. Just enjoy. Just enjoy the time of blankness, the place of emptiness, and pay attention to God's abundance and grace, the work of Holy Spirit. May God help you to make an empty room in your lives. May our friend Jesus walk with us and encourage us to open ourselves to God's abundance. May the Holy Spirit move and play in the emptiness.